Hello again, and my name is Lisa Ashton. Welcome to our December 10th Accelerator for our Project 44 journey. Today we are reading through Acts 20 through 21, and I want to invite you on a little trip with me in my handy-dandy little cart here. And we are actually heading on a trip to San Antonio, Texas. Now, from Omaha, Nebraska, this San Antonio, Texas is about 900 miles. And I suspect going at this rate, probably make it in about 50 days. Now, I'm going to invite some friends to go with me, even though they probably won't be able to sit right here. We'll probably connect a wagon. So I have a lot of friends to go with me, but I need to let you know that if you decide to come with me on this trip to San Antonio, I'm going to want to stop at about 11 cities. Some will stay for a day. Some we might even stay for a whole week. There's going to be a lot of crying on the trip, probably emotionally draining. Many of the people you see, you'll never see again. And I also want to let you know that when I get to San Antonio, they're probably going to want to kill me. But I'm going to go anyway, and no matter what you say or any leaders along the way of warning me, I'm still going to want to go. Because I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may complete the task, finish the race that the Lord Jesus Christ has called me to, and that is the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Well, you guys probably know where I was going with this. In our reading today, we read about Paul's third missionary journey, and he headed from Philippi, and his desire was to go from Philippi all the way to Jerusalem, which is about 900 miles. Now, I have a map here. And Lori's going to zoom in on this map. You got it, Lori? Okay. So he's up here in Philippi, Paul, and our reading takes up there. And he meets up with Luke in Philippi. And then they're going to want to make this trip all the way to Jerusalem. So Paul's quest to Jerusalem is, one, driven by his desire to bring a relief fund to Jerusalem. There is a famine going on there. And he took an offering in some of these Gentile territories to take this relief fund there. Now, we haven't learned about that from a reading in Acts, but we've learned about it in 1 Corinthians 16:1 and in 2 Corinthians 8:9. We learn about the relief fund. We also know that Paul's compulsion to go to Jerusalem is based on the call that God had on his life, that he would testify before kings and before people of power of what God had done in his life and to share the gospel. And so he really wants to get to Jerusalem. We learn that they left Philippi the day after the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And on the Jewish calendar, that is about 50 days. Okay, so we began our journey. He leaves, if we can zero in here, he leaves Philippi and he goes to Troas. And what happens in Troas is that story about Eutychus. So Paul is preaching in an upper room to the wee hours of night, and this young guy named Eutychus falls asleep during the sermon, and he falls out of the window. He falls out of the window, he splats, and then he dies. And what does Paul do? He actually goes down outside, lays over Eutychus, raises the kid to life, goes right back up to the room, and begins preaching until morning, like nothing happened. I mean, Paul's no joke. He's not messing around. So that's what happened in Troas. They leave Troas, and they sail to a few other places. And notice right here, I don't know if you can zoom in, they skip Ephesus. And he wondered, why would they skip Ephesus? Well, Paul had spent 3 years in Ephesus, and my guess is, since he had his eyes set on Jerusalem, he didn't think this would be a short visit. And so he skipped Ephesus, went to Miletus, and then he beckoned the leaders from Ephesus to meet him there, which I thought was incredibly strategic. And that was about a 30-mile trip for the leaders in Ephesus. In Miletus, he has a message, a very moving message. I'm not going to go over that today, but I'd encourage you to make sure that you read about that. And then his visit concludes with a lot of weeping and crying and kissing and hugging, and people are begging him, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem, don't go. And again, he says, no, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. So he says goodbye. And I wonder if you've ever had to have that kind of an emotional goodbye to somebody. You know, back then they didn't have technology like today. It's not like Paul could say, hey guys, I'm not going to see you for a while, but do you want a Skype? Do you want a text or something like that? I mean, they didn't have that capacity. So a goodbye was oftentimes a goodbye until eternity. And I appreciate seeing that Paul had deep and meaningful relationships. And he probably was a pretty polarizing guy. Either people loved him or people hated him. Well, Ani goes to a few more cities, and there's two things that I wanted to mention. He made this trip across the sea here. That was 400 miles of open sea, which just makes me nauseous to even think about 400 miles across open sea. He goes to Tyre, and then this other city, Ptolemais, I don't even know how to say that, and then to Caesarea. And there are two things in Caesarea I wanted to mention. One, he stayed with his a family, a guy by the name of Philip, who was an evangelist, and he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Can you imagine that house of four unmarried daughters that could prophesy and their father being an evangelist? I mean, this place was probably popping for Jesus, not lacking for a word from God at all. And I love it that Luke would include that about these women and say, hey, these women had this spiritual gift, and he mentioned that in Scripture. So way to go, single ladies. And I thought it was neat that Paul would find it valuable to stay with his family, because I know that he made sure that he stayed with families that would be strategic and families that meant a lot to him. Well, the last thing that I wanted to talk about was this idea that some of his disciples, it says, through the Spirit, pleaded for him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then you also read at the same time that Paul felt led by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. So how do you reconcile that? Is there a contradiction of the Holy Spirit's leading in these two? Well, I think in this case it's important to realize the difference between a warning and a prohibition. When Agabus in Caesarea came and he did that demonstration of putting the belt on and he told Paul of his impending doom, that was a warning. That was a warning of saying, hey, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to die. And Paul recognized that warning, and he knew that it was truth, but he also knew what God had called him to do. And so he went forward with that. The other thing that I wanted to mention as well, and I wonder if this has something to do with it, is were these prophecies tested? Paul mentions in 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 21, he says, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. And I'm wondering if this is something that Paul wrote that maybe was a result of maybe prophecies that weren't tested over him earlier on in his life. So something to think about. Well, that about covers it for today. Tomorrow we're going to pick up right where we left off. He arrives in Jerusalem after his long journey. And tomorrow you're going to read about arrests and trials and conspiracies, and all those things are right around the corner. So stay tuned. Isn't the Bible exciting? All right, see you later. Bye-bye.